This is Conquering Columbus.
Hey, everybody. Mike here, and you're listening to the Conquering Columbus podcast. On this episode, Josh got the chance to speak with Lisa Arledge Powell, president of MediaSource. And we've had Lisa on the show in the past, but just in case you missed it, Lisa gives a quick rundown on what MediaSource does early on in the show.
We are the man or the company behind the curtain putting these organizations in the spotlight. If you remember the day that the first vaccine for COVID was available, all eyes were on Ohio State Wexner Medical Center. CNN was here, the Today Show, NBC Nightly News. My company worked with the Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center's PR team to get those national outlets here to feature them and what was happening versus, you know, a company, a hospital in New York or LA or Chicago. And that's not an easy thing to do. To get them here, you really have to know how to work with the media. And because I'm a former journalist and many people that work for MediaSource, they also have reporter and producer and editor roots. We're really good at helping tell those stories and then getting the right eyeballs on them.
Later, Lisa spoke about the importance of being able to pivot in your business.
For some things in business, there is no handbook. So sometimes you have to take a leap of faith and really believe that you can make it happen. And I can think of many times, you know, throughout the history of the company where that happened.
As the show wraps up, Lisa spoke a bit about the concept of work-life balance and the importance of shaping your business in a way that allows team members to manage that balance.
So when I started the company 25 years ago, I had a son who at the time was less than a year old. So he is now 25. So I had a baby and then a business that was a baby. I didn't have a ton of work-life balance back then, honestly. And it's become a lot more important to me. And I realized that, you know, people can't be working 24/7. They need to have a work-life balance. So we really do try to have fun when we work. We try to, you know, when the day ends, the day's over, and, you know, try not to bother people after hours or on weekends. We want people to take their time off. We recently established a paternity leave policy. So, you know, whether it's the mother or the father, you can have your full 8 weeks off with a baby or an adopted child at full pay. So we're really trying to talk the talk and walk the walk at the same time.
As always, we hope you enjoy this episode. That's it from me. Let's get the show on the road.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Conquering Columbus. As you know, October is National Women's Small Business Month, which is an opportunity to celebrate the success of women business owners and inspire current and future female entrepreneurs to pursue their passion for starting a business. Lisa Arledge Powell is the founder and president of MediaSource, who is our guest today, which is a Columbus-based healthcare communication firm celebrating its 25th anniversary. Lisa joins me now with Lisa's list, which are the top five lessons she's learned from 25 years as a small business owner to help future female entrepreneurs thrive. Lisa, welcome to Conquering Columbus for the second time.
Thank you so much. It's been a couple years, but I think I was on like 5 years ago. That seems like 15 years ago with everything that's happened in the past 5 years.
It is wild to say, I don't know if it's 2018, 2019, is like 4 to 5 years ago. It's really hard to wrap my head around.
It is. Time has flown, but yet when you think of sort of before the pandemic and after where we are right now, it seems like night and day.
Yeah, that definitely is a signifying chapter in, I think, everybody's stories for the last few years. So for those who don't know and might not have listened to the first episode, take us through a little bit about maybe a high-level overview on your background and then what MediaSource does, and we'll jump into this top five list and start going into things.
Yeah, so as you said earlier, MediaSource is a healthcare communications firm. We have been a company here in Columbus for 25 years, and I'm really proud of that. It feels so weird to even say that because that is a really long time to be in business, and I feel really grateful for that. The company started 25 years ago. I'm a former television journalist. So my training is telling stories, and I was working for a health show, and it was canceled. It was a show years ago called Life Choices that was done out of Ohio Health, Riverside Hospital. The CEO hosted the show. It was kind of a show that was before its time. I had the greatest job in the world. I got to travel around and interview celebrities and ask them what their best life choice was. So it was a great job that really prepared me for storytelling. The show was canceled, and so I started doing freelance work here in Columbus for production companies and brands. And I got to the point where I was just kind of too busy just to do it myself. The company began, and grew from there. We did a lot of retail work in the beginning. We worked a lot with Lane Bryant and Limited Brands and Victoria's Secret. And then when the recession hit in 2008 and 2009, we made the pivot to work primarily with healthcare. So Ohio State Wexner Medical Center has been a client for 25 years. And I just feel grateful and blown away that they are still a client 25 years later, because in the business world, that's not something that happens all the time. So we work with them. We work with here in town, Nationwide Children's Hospital, Cardinal Health. And I think the best way to describe what MediaSource does is we are the man or the company behind the curtain putting these organizations in the spotlight. So just going back to the pandemic, if you remember the day that the first vaccine for COVID was available, all eyes were on Ohio State Wexner Medical Center. CNN was here, The Today Show, NBC Nightly News. My company worked with the Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center's PR team to get those national outlets here to feature them and what was happening versus, you know, a company, a hospital in New York or LA or Chicago. And that's not an easy thing to do because all those networks have bureaus in the big cities. So to get them here, you really have to know how to work with the media. And because I'm a former journalist and many people that work for MediaSource, they also have reporter and producer and editor roots. We're really good at helping tell those stories and then getting the right eyeballs on them.
Yeah, these companies, and I don't think that we think about it necessarily if we're working inside of them, but you know, they're running every day and they're taking actions, and inside of their own industry or ecosystem, they're probably well known what those actions are, but the external environment, the everyday consumer might not be aware of these. And so you guys, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but to put it from maybe a perspective of somebody who's listening that might not be as familiar, you help showcase those stories and those narratives to the general public and try to get your clients at the forefront of the limelight above and beyond maybe any of their peers inside of their industries. Would that be correct?
Yeah, that's exactly what they do. The truth is every company has stories. They all have products and services that they want to get out there, that they want to sell. They all have stories. And I think what we are really good at is we can come in and identify which of those stories can we push out there to get in front of the target audience that's really going to resonate. Because the truth is, many, say, hospitals have the same story. At Ohio State, they weren't the only ones that had the COVID vaccine on the first day. There were hospitals and organizations around the country that had it. We just were able to get to the right people at the television networks and at the wire services with the right story to get them here versus to another health system.
So fast forward to today so we could set the context and then start diving into, you know, 25 years of business and this top five list that you have. What does the business look like today, size-wise, and what leadership positions do you have and all that good stuff?
So MediaSource, right now, we are based in Grandview, right here in Central Ohio. We are on Fifth Avenue, and we are at the site of the old Arlington Theater. So back in the 30s and 40s, it was actually an old theater. Our conference room, when you're sitting in it, you can see where the ticket office was, where people would walk up right on Fifth Avenue and buy their theater ticket. In fact, Charles Penzone came to our office one time for a shoot, and he walked in the door and he says, "Oh my gosh, this is where the candy counter was. This is where popcorn was. I can remember coming here with my grandfather to watch movies." So we have a really great creative place to work together. We have about 20 people. It is split between public relations team, a creative team, and an analytics team. And a little bit about each team. Obviously, public relations, they're the people that take the story and get it out there to the target audience. But it really starts with our analytics team helps set the strategy of what stories are we going to do? What research do we need to do to figure out what our strategy is going to be? Then the story goes to our creative team. And our creative team really takes it and brings it to life. And that might mean it's a blog. It could be it's a video. It could be that it's, you know, maybe just a media pitch that's written that goes out to journalists. And then our PR team takes it and gets it in front of the audience. So I have a leadership team of three people that are in VP positions. And then from there, we have directors and managers and specialists.
So before we jump into the 25 years and fast forwarding to 20 people today and the broad spectrum of services they cover inside of the organization. Are there certain milestones that you look back on over the course of those 25 years that really stick out to you in terms of the inflection points of growing the company? And more so, whether it's positive or negative, certain points you look back on where maybe you were worried or doubtful, and maybe your perspective on looking back on those now. Like, I know this is actually a lot in one question, so maybe we could break it down into two parts. One, inflection points that maybe were positive, and then two, the negative ones I would love to hear about to the extent you're comfortable discussing them.
Yeah, I would say the positive major inflection points, the first one was when the recession hit that I talked about earlier. We needed to make a decision. We were really rocking and rolling in the fashion and retail. But what I saw was that once the economy kind of slowed down, those retailers, they really only knocked on the door for projects in the fourth quarter. And they wanted all my best people on their projects. Well, we were also working with healthcare, and people get sick all year round. And, you know, healthcare organizations need to be telling their story all year round. So to me, it just made sense that that was something that was more stable. And plus, the healthcare stories are so rewarding to tell. It's great to tell stories about medical breakthroughs and, you know, patients who were sick getting some type of treatment and now they're feeling better. So I think that was a major pivot that we made, where we were kind of split between healthcare and retail. And then we decided, you know, we are going to really try to focus in healthcare. In the years that followed, we were named best healthcare PR firm by a major industry organization 4 years in a row. And so we really kind of understand that space, and we understand how to get exposure and how to find the best stories in that space. And so I'm really proud that we were able to make that pivot. I think the second really big time in the company was in about 2014, where I had read an article in an industry trade and it said the word brand journalism. And I was like, huh, I have never heard that before. And I remember I sent an email to the team and I'm like, I think this is exactly what we do. We are former journalists and we're turning stories that are very much like news stories, but they're for a brand. And look at this. This looks like where the industry's going. So we just started talking about it. We rebranded as Media Source Brand Journalism for that time period. We're no longer branded in that way, but we really own the brand journalism space, you know, in the first 5 years of that. And I think that helped set us apart in the industry. And it also helped us realize what we were good at. Before that, I think we were like, we're the video people for every single type of video. We do other types of videos and other types of projects, but most companies, most organizations come to us because they are trying to figure out how to tell their story in a non-promotional way, not as a commercial, but how do we tell it so we can really get the newsworthiness of this procedure or service line or expert out there.
And how do you, this is my last question before you jump into the top five, so I want to spend a good amount of time on that, but how do you accomplish that without making it feel like you're overselling the company or putting it in a way that isn't really driving a compelling narrative or value for the consumer, quote unquote, on the other side?
I think one of the most important things when you're looking at this type of content is to unbrand it as much as possible. And some organizations aren't comfortable doing that. But if you can just step back a minute and understand that you can't just be screaming with your headline or, you know, in the first paragraph of the story, you can't be talking about the brand name. It really needs to be letting that story unfold. And then, you know, maybe in the middle of the story, experts at Nationwide Children's Hospital are doing X, and you get to the brand, but you need to let the story unfold so it's not screaming like a commercial. But that's the key thing. And you have to have brands that are comfortable with that. But if you can get comfortable with that, it's a really effective way to get your story out in front of the audience that you want to reach.
So now to jump into the list. And we start off at number one, which is centered around believing in yourself. So as you look at that as your number one for making it through 25 years, can you reflect on what it means to you and unpackage that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think as a woman, you know, we've faced barriers over the years with business. 20 years ago, women still had to get a male relative cosigner on business loans. So we've come a long way, right? And I think you really need to believe in yourself. I think for some things in business, there is no handbook. So sometimes you have to take a leap of faith and really believe that you can make it happen. And I can think of many times, you know, throughout the history of the company where that happened. What I just talked about as far as, you know, making the pivot to healthcare to during the pandemic. So I think I was possibly patient zero during the pandemic. I ended up getting COVID like within the first week of it. But because of the nature of what we did, we couldn't shoot video at the beginning of the pandemic. We were working with so many hospitals that we literally had like 100 different storylines that we were trying to get out to different audiences for different clients. So we restructured the company within the first couple of weeks of the pandemic to service what we needed to do. And I didn't really know if it was the right thing to do or not, but I was like, we can't keep doing it this way because we're not going to be able to get our work done, meet our clients' goals. And so we made a pretty big pivot, and it was really based on believing that I thought it was the right thing to do.
Hey, everybody, Mike here. We're going to take a quick break to talk about one of our sponsors, One Columbus. And we are very excited to partner with One Columbus. They really, really share the same vision as us here at the Conquering Columbus podcast, which is really building up the Columbus region to be one of the most prosperous regions in the United States. And One Columbus serves as the business location resource for companies across Central Ohio and around the world as those companies grow, innovate, and compete within the global economy. And they help us lead a regional growth strategy that develops and attracts the world's most competitive companies, grows a highly adaptive workforce, and prepares our communities for the future, inspiring innovation across the board. Their mission really is just ensuring the Columbus region is a vibrant place to build businesses and careers. So again, we really appreciate all of their support. You want to learn more about them, go check out their website, columbusregion.com. That's columbusregion.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll be right back into the episode.
And so going into number two, don't be afraid to ask for help. We talked a lot about the episode so far on the highs and lows and why it's imperative to believe in yourself. What do you mean exactly when you say don't be afraid to go out and ask for help?
I think when you're in charge of a business, you have to understand what you know, and you also have to understand what you don't know. And I think that is the most important thing, is figure out what you're good at, do that thing, but the things that you aren't good at, you need to find people that are experts in it to surround yourself with. So for instance, I talked about the different departments at Media Source. I'm a good storyteller. I'm good at PR, but I don't know how to edit. I don't know how to shoot a camera very well. I can maybe shoot with my iPhone, but you know, nothing great. So, you know, I have those type of people that are high level and are in those positions and can really lead that. You know, getting business consultants. We have a CFO that we work with. I wasn't trained in finance, and so it's really important to surround yourself. I think one of the coolest things that we did with asking for help was, you know how Disney is so great at creativity. We hired Duncan Wardle, who's a former Disney exec, to come in and help spark creativity among our team. So it's really just looking at those outside experts, see where you need help and bring them in and let them assist you.
So how did you get connected to Duncan? How did that unfold? That sounds like an interesting story.
Well, I was at a conference and he spoke at it, and I thought he was amazing. And so I went up to him after and I said, do you ever come and speak to companies? And he said, yeah, I do. And I'm like, well, would you come to Columbus, Ohio? And he said, yeah, let's figure something out. And so he ended up coming. We even invited a few of our clients to participate in that because it was just such a special thing to be able to participate in. And he's got a whole process of sparking creativity, and it was a great day.
Wow, that's very cool. I guess you weren't afraid to ask at that
exactly.
point as well. And so how do you balance the line as a leader too, between feeling competent and trying to lead your team and make them feel confident as well, while still saying there's some things that I might not know at all, or I might not be good at, you know, like I find it interesting that people could go off, they could do things within the business and you want to direct them and make sure you understand it. But yet if you don't understand the intricacies, it could become for some people, maybe a sense of insecurity, but you've seemed to balance it really well. So how have you juggled that?
I think it's really about being confident in yourself overall. I think it would be hard if you didn't feel confident just in your overall abilities to allow people with different skills to do their thing. So I think it's about being confident and just knowing that you're good at the things you're good at, and that's good enough.
And have you ever reflected, this is something I think about fairly often, is like the line between needing and wanting to have the answer on a lot of things versus sitting back and saying, am I really going down the right path? Like, and I think that probably takes having good leadership. Maybe that's the VPs inside of the company. And it often is reflects itself when you're thinking through strategic decisions. Do you currently inside of the team have a strong core group that you can talk strategy with? And if so, how did that evolve for you inside of the company?
So I do have a really strong leadership team. So it's a leader in each of the departments. So there's a VP of Public Relations, VP of Creative, VP of Analytics. And so they each come to the table with different expertise, and they all have a different work style as well. And so that's been really helpful to have diverse minds come together to figure out the solutions to the major issues happening in the company. We also work with a business coach, and I think that helps as well. We recently had a retreat where, you know, we talked about how we manage conflict, you know, because I think it's really easy sometimes to not speak up because maybe you don't want to spark any conflict, but you actually need conflict to be able to get things done.
And you clearly are not scared to invest back in the business, you know, bringing a speaker in all the way to Columbus, who's a Disney exec, to having business coaches. That's another interesting one where I could see, you know, as an entrepreneur of a small business, that could be a bit of a struggle. Have you consistently made those decisions over the course of running the company?
I think we have over the years. I think over the past couple years, it's become really clear that that is the way to grow. That's the way to keep your people. That's the way to recruit better people. So we recently, you mentioned 25 years, we recently had our 25th anniversary, and we're kind of celebrating all year. And we had a big party called the Purple Party, but we also brought everyone together for a three-day staff retreat. And it was so much fun. We used Cameo, and we had Lance Bass from NSYNC open the retreat. And then we picked a theme song for the year, which happened to be an NSYNC theme song. And then Jesse Palmer from The Bachelor, we had this big award ceremony, and he did a video to kick that off. So we try to do really fun things that are going to resonate with the team that's in place. And I think we've got a lot of energy happening right now, and I want to just try to continue that momentum.
So number three, pursue your passion, but don't be afraid to pivot. Take me through that.
Yeah, I think obviously I'm passionate about storytelling. I was a journalist. And so you're going to be better at something that you are passionate about. And so I think that is part of the reason why the company's been so successful, because I really believe in what we're doing. I believe in storytelling. I get excited about, you know, when I see one of our stories, you know, airing across the country on a station in LA, or you see it like cross the wire on AP. But I just think you do need to be ready to pivot, whether it's, you know, because of a recession or a pandemic, or because, you know, a staff change. Like, it's important, even if you have it in writing that this is your plan, to be able to say, hey, we're going to revert from this and go a different direction right now.
And as you think about your passions versus pivots now and over the next 3 to 5 years, are there things that you foresee and areas that you are excited to expand into or think you need to expand into it, maybe weren't your core passions? Or do you see the team and the structure and the strategy continuing as it is?
I think if you're not open to change, you're not going to grow. So I think we are really focused right now on growth. And so something that we're focused on internally is our operations. So I think we have operated for many years in a similar way, in the fact that it was kind of all hands on deck for all clients. So now we have an operational consultant, again, getting people that don't be afraid to ask for help, that's helping us restructure some things so that we have pods and certain people are working on certain clients. And we think that that's going to give our clients better client service. I think something that we're really trying to figure out, and I don't have the answer, so if you have expertise in this, AI, like how are we going to responsibly use AI in public relations to help us do our job better, but still maintain the creativity and have it be credible content that's actually created by humans. So we're trying to figure that out right now. We're working on what our AI policy is, how to figure out the super prompts. And so if you have any thoughts on that, I would love to know, because it's just a big onion.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think a lot of people are trying to figure it out at once, and everybody's getting a little of their own flavor and putting into their business and seeing how it plays out, which I think is probably the good first step. And then over time, I think more people will find ways to apply it and leverage it and add the most value. So it's an interesting ecosystem. Number four, which is a really big one on a lot of people's topics, but not a lot of business owners talk about it or necessarily are great at it, is finding work-life balance. And what does that look like for you over the years? Has it changed at all?
Oh, yes. So when I started the company 25 years ago, I had a son who at the time was less than a year old. So he is now 25. So I had a baby and then a business that was a baby. I didn't have a ton of work-life balance back then, honestly. And it's become a lot more important to me. And I realized that, you know, people can't be working 24/7. They need to have a work-life balance. So we really do try to have fun when we work. We try to, you know, when the day ends, the day's over, and, you know, try not to bother people after hours or on weekends. We want people to take their time off. We recently established a paternity leave policy. So, you know, whether it's the mother or the father, you can have your full 8 weeks off with a baby or an adopted child at full pay. So we're really trying to talk the talk and walk the walk at the same time.
How did you, or maybe you still don't have the same balance that maybe normal people do, but like, how have you toned that down over the years, or have you at all? Have you been able to pull it back and balance things better?
I think I have. You know, I used to work very late, you know, lots of nights and weekends. And I think that I'm better at prioritizing things and better at deadlines and better at delegating. You know, there's a whole team of people that can work on things and then, you know, I can approve it. So I think just getting other people involved and knowing what I should be working on and maybe what is, okay, this is not important right now. It's not on fire.
I think the hardest thing from my perspective, when it comes to you being where the kind of the puck stops and responsible for the growth of the business, your own future, is that there's always more that could be done. And if you're a motivated, driven person, to sit back and take a break, but yet say that you have these large aspirations can be very contradictory, at least to my brain. And so I don't know if I say this out loud because I'm curious if you've ever felt the same. And if so, psychologically, if you have any tips or tricks, maybe you don't, that's okay. But how you've worked through that and found comfort that even though there's more that can always be done, today I'm going to stop here because I understand that it's not great for my health if I push it any further. Like if those thoughts gone through your brain over the years?
Oh, absolutely. I really believe that sometimes you take as much time as you have. So I think it's really important to put a deadline on something because if you don't have a deadline, you'll keep going back to it. And I mean, I can always make anything I make, whether it's a proposal or a video or a press release, if I looked at it again now and I was done with it, I can find something that can make it better that I want to change. So I think you do have to say, like, put the pencils down. We're done. This is great.
And then the final component, celebrating your success. So what does it mean to you? And what are the biggest successes that you look back on that you celebrated? And can you take us through kind of why they were so big to you and how they felt at the moment?
I think it's really important to celebrate the big moments and the small moments. So, you know, over the years with the big moments, it's really easy to think about those. There was a time that we actually broke the internet for the Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center. They had a test that you could take where it was just at the time, because it was several years ago, you know, a test that you could download from the internet. You could check some boxes and it would let you know if you were maybe prone to memory problems or Alzheimer's. It's called the SAGE test. And so we were charged with getting promotion for that and letting people know about it. And we did such a good job that once it aired on NBC Nightly News, it crashed Ohio State's website. So I guess I don't know if you should celebrate that or not because their websites crashed, but I think that's what, you know, we needed to tell a lot of people. So it was kind of fun to be able to celebrate that. Like I said, we celebrated our 25th anniversary. We had a big purple party. Our logo's purple. I am a fanatic about Prince, the artist. And so purple, we had a big purple party. Everyone wore purple. It was so much fun. And I just believe that you have to celebrate the successes because you work really hard. And so you have to have some rewards along the way.
And what about the go-forward plan for the future? I mean, you're at this 25-year mark. You've been running this for a while. Do you see yourself continuing to run the business for the next 25 years? Like, what do the goals look like?
So I don't see myself running it for 25 years, but I do see myself really involved, you know, for the next, say, 5+ years. And right now we're really trying to figure out like what the next version of MediaSource will be. Who are the leaders? What does the company look like? You know, like I said, I have an amazing team of leaders. I have an amazing team. So I'd really love to set everyone up to succeed, whether I'm, you know, sitting in the seat I'm in right now or not.
Lisa, thank you so much for joining us again on the podcast. It's been great. And congratulations on 25 years. Any final words you have for our audience?
No, just I just feel so grateful to have had 25 years of business success here in Central Ohio. So I just want to say thank you to my team and all of the organizations that we've worked with throughout the years.
Awesome. Well, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.